This is vision. Look at, first of all, the foundations of the church, you know, what this church, what our vision is, what our mission is, the core values of our church, the cultural values of our church. We just take time to establish that. And anybody who's thinking about going to the membership class next week, a lot of what I cover is what we're going to cover here, so that you're ahead of things. Anyway, so we just want to take time to just see how the church was established, like what it is that we believe, what is the goal for us, where are we going? And then we also take a look at the financials for the church at the end of 2023, a snapshot as of the end of 2023. And then we look at where the Lord's taking us for 2024. And what the Lord has spoken to Pastor Randy and I as far as the direction that he's taking our church. And so that's what we do. We do this once a year. Normally we do it in January, but we had a little bit of a hiccup. And so we're doing it a little later than normal. So just even start, if you know that, notice the byline of our church is encounter Christ, know Christ, live Christ. And that really is the essence of what life in Christ is, right? We encounter him, and like I always say, hopefully the encounter you had with him was this morning or during worship, or that you live a life of encounter with Christ, that it's not the encounter I had with him 20 years ago when I got saved, but it's a living relationship with him that we have an encounter. And then know Christ is that we come to know him intimately, that we walk with him, and as we get to know him, we get to know who we are. And from those two things, we begin to live Christ, right? It's not I who live, but Christ lives in me. And so we live from that place, so our life becomes an influence to those around us in his character, in his nature, and in his power. And so that really is the essence of what we know the Lord has called this church to as we move forward in this. So the next slide. So what is the particular vision that we have for the church? And that is from John 17:23, that the world may know that God sent Jesus Christ, his son. Like that's what it's all about, that we want the world to know that Jesus Christ is the son of God and that God sent him for the redemption of all mankind. And so that's the vision. Then our particular mission as a church is that we believe we owe the world an encounter with God. And like Christy once said, we could just end there, right? But we further clarify it, right? So we as Kingdom Life Church will create and sustain a church culture that honors God, his word, his spirit, and his people. We will equip the saints to know him deeply, right? Ephesians 4. So the first and foremost, we want you to know him deeply. Right? Because if you don't know him deeply, then everything else is useless. So first and foremost, that everyone would know him deeply, fulfill their purpose in him from that place, and demonstrate the reality of the kingdom of God to the world and live to reveal him. Like that's what we want this church to be a picture of, is people who grow up and get discipled and raised up within this church to be catalysts in the world to point people to Jesus Christ. And so we reveal him through, again, through his character in us, his nature inside of us, and his power inside of us as well. And so we're so excited to see people beginning to see healing moving, because we've known for years that is part of what this church is called to. So to see what's happening, because we're pressing in, God was just waiting for us, and we're pressing in, and we're seeing things happen. But everything of this, all this comes from relationship with him and knowing who we are in Christ. Right? We need to have a relationship with him and know who we are in Christ. So something that we've added, if we go to the next slide, thank you. So then something that we did, the Pastor Randy and I came across this year. So we were in relationship with another church, and the pastor had mentioned the core values that the Lord had given him. And we felt really strongly like the Lord was saying to us, these are the core values of this church. And so it's so beautiful to watch what God does, because this happened like in the summer into the fall. And then we presented this to the board in December, and the board agreed with this, and we integrated this in. And in that time, Pastor Randy and I have really been pressing into prayer more. And it's just been so funny to watch what God's done, even though like nobody knew these core values, like we're watching them happen, right? So that I believe that we've already been a church that has focused on presence. That's why we do the service the way we do. That's why we we have, and we've shifted things even just recently, right? At the end, we don't do announcements again because there's such a beautiful flow that happens. You know, we do declarations, we do worship, we do communion, and we put communion in there then to flow into the message. And then after the message, to just leave that place for the Holy Spirit to continue to work after the word has come, to be able to just not interrupt that flow, because presence is just so important to us. And the practical things, you can read an email for the announcements, you can get here on time to get the announcements, right? But we're not going to accommodate that. Our primary thing is to accommodate the presence of God. That's our main goal, and that's why we've shifted or fine-tuned the service to flow the way it does, because we want to honor that presence throughout the service. So presence, and of course, you know, we have our time after worship where we can just let the Holy Spirit move before we move into even the message. And if any of you've been here for any length of time, sometimes the message never gets delivered as far as what I may have prepared, because Jesus is delivering it in His way. So, and then prayer, just really focusing on prayer as a vehicle for what God wants to do. Prayer is crucial. Prayer is crucial. And then transformation, which comes right from the delivery of the word, it comes from the different small groups we have. All of those are towards transformation. There's some more things that we're going to do. And then evangelism, we've been talking about that. I've really been trying to incorporate that into the messages I've been bringing, because, and I said this at the women's retreat, that we are so blessed by people who come to this church. And if you've come to this church from a different church, we're honored to have you if you feel the Lord's called you to this church. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. But we, Pastor Randy and I, don't want to stand up before the Lord and say to Him, well, we got 500 people that were going to other churches. We got them to come to our church. Right? That's not the goal. The goal is to touch the people who are unchurched or unbelievers, believers that have gotten separated from the fold, or people who don't know the Lord. And so right now, our leadership team and board are working together to come, and we have some things we're working on, like what does evangelism look like for Kingdom Life Church? Okay, but we are called to touch the world, church. We can't just stay here in the four walls. Okay, and there's been a season, like I believe the Lord's growing us up into this, but we need to go beyond the four walls, so that we're working towards that and what that's going to look like for our church. But this is where we're called, right? There's transformation in each one of us as we come to know who we are, and true transformation should lead to encountering the world and bringing them to Christ. If we've really been transformed and we understand who we are and why we're here, right? That a natural outflow of that is to touch the world. I know people get really scared when they see the word evangelism. Most people, I mean, some people get excited, but some people get really scared. Okay, so again, just know that we're working towards that and really searching the Lord as what does that look like for our church. So. Okay, so we don't want, I mean, we're grateful if the Lord's called you to this church, like praise God for it, right? But that's not what we want our testimony to be, right? Okay, so let's just look, so just the culture of this church, you know, we want to be kingdom mindset, have a kingdom mindset. That's why the Lord told us our name was Kingdom Life Church International. I'm like, really? There's like so many churches called Kingdom Life, right? But that's what, like we have a kingdom mindset. We want to see the fivefold ministry operating. You know, like right now, we're a part of Global Awakening, and that's like an apostolic covering over us. You know, we're also a part of Andrew's organization as a church as well. That's kind of like an apostolic covering. So, but there's pastors and teachers, there's giftings in here. We don't decide what office we have, but we discover it. And not everybody's in the fivefold, but we want to see all the giftings of the fivefold operating in our church. We, again, want to be presence-centered. We don't want to have song services, right? We want to worship in spirit and truth, which I believe we do. We want to see the gifts of the Spirit operating. That's why at the end of worship, we leave that time for the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. If you get a word of knowledge or a prophetic word or whatever, we want people to step out and share those, because that's what is supposed to be operating with us in a church body. We want to expect the miraculous. God's here, right? The miraculous happens when He's here. You know, we are a body of Christ, and every piece, we're members one of another. And so as different parts of the body, we find our place and operate, you know, as a body, but we're also part of a larger body. So it's not just our body, but it's the larger body. We are family. We're family, but we're also an army, okay? The fruit of the Spirit should be in our lives, and then discipleship, and part of the different classes and things we do are part of discipleship. And then our children and youth ministry should be reflecting all these things, because there's no junior Holy Spirit. So all these things that we see operating in the that we as a church, right, we want to see them also operating in our children and youth, because this is normal Christian life. This is normal Christian life, and we want to demonstrate that to our children and bring them into it as well. And that's why, like, we had the children's service, right, where they operated in that. And then just some cultural values, you know, that we be Christ and present-centered. You know, one thing that's really on Pastor Rennie's and my heart is that we want this to be a safe place. Like, so many times people come into church and they put their church face on. And we don't want that, you know. And I know as we get larger, I think it gets a little bit more difficult, but we want a place where people can come, you know, to a men's group, to a women's group, to a small group, or even to the church, and come and say, you know what, my life is a train wreck right now. Like, and people be like, oh, that's such a negative confession, right? Right? No, like, we need a place where people can be safe to say there's things aren't necessarily going right, and I can be, I'm in a safe place to be transparent about what's going on in my life, and have godly counsel that is moved with compassion, not pity, but compassion and grace and mercy to help people in what they're doing. So a lot of this is that. Also, that we all be teachable, that we have an open dialogue, we're humble, we all take personal responsibility for our own walks with the Lord, we live intentionally, right? That we're not responding, but we're reactive. In other words, we're not triggered by things out here, but we react to things from Christ in us. Now, we're all on a journey to do that, okay? I'm not there yet, but I know that's the goal, okay? So these are just some things from a cultural standpoint that are important to us. You know, one of the things that we did early on in this church was the Keep Your Love On book by Danny Silk. If you've never read that book, I highly, 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 highly recommend it to you, because it helps not only with if you're a married couple, but it helps in all of your relationships. His model is very simple and it works in every relationship. But every married couple for sure should read it. It really transformed our relationship as well. But one of the things it talks about in there is that, like, relationships are never, like, on the table. In other words, even though we may disagree, we can work through the disagreement and still keep our relationship intact. So many times people are like, okay, we've had a disagreement, peace out, the relationship's over. That's not the way Jesus treats us. Right? We have disagreements with him, but he never leaves us or forsakes us. And so we want to really honor relationships in that way. And so that's really a part of the culture of this church is really important to us. Okay, so the next slide. So I mentioned Global Awakening. Global Awakening is an organization that was started, the head of it is Randy Clark, and he was the one who was the spark for the Toronto revival. God used him to kind of start that. And he has this organization that's worldwide, which we really feel a strong affinity for. And I presented this last year, right? There's a bunch of different conferences that they offer. Like, Randy and I go every year to Voice of the Apostles, but they, awesome conferences. These conferences, like Empowered Greater Things, have been held at Karis Bible College in Colorado. So there's a relationship between Andrew Womack and Randy Clark, as well as Bethel. So there's a global network, and then they have a lot of education. Of course, there's, you know, Karis is an excellent school. They also have some great education you can do on-site or online, and mission trips. And so the Brazil trip we're going on, we're going through Global Awakening, who again is like, we're under them. So if you go to the next slide. So we are a part of their apostolic network now. This happened last year. I had talked about it at last year's Vision Sunday. And so I became the member as a representative of our church. And so we have access to all these resources that Global Awakening offers. And it's been a real benefit to our church. It's really helped us, you know, as we've walked with the Lord and built relationships with these people to really help and empower. So we have these, so our church now has that apostolic covering. It doesn't mean they come in and run our church, but it does give us this relationship that we can draw on, and we can be accountable to if there's areas that we need accountability, like they're there for us. So it's been very helpful. Okay, so now I have to do just some basic things that I need to talk about from our church. Insurance policy requires this, so just bear with me here for a minute. So every year on our insurance policy, when we have a church insurance policy, one of the things it requires us to do is things for child safety and sexual harassment. So just to know, our church does have a sexual harassment policy. And the bottom line is, don't do it. Okay? From physical force all the way to subtle innuendos, none of it is acceptable. And if anyone were to ever feel like that was going on in this church, I'm the person you would come to report that. If you couldn't come to me, you would come to one of the other board members, which I will share with you as we go into this. But we do have a policy, and there is a place to report it. If for some reason you feel like that's happening, please come to us and let us know. And we'll address it in a godly way, absolutely. If someone is doing that, they don't know who they are in Christ, right? And if someone is a victim of that, we're going to honor and help you. You do need to know that in North Carolina, it is a reporting state when it comes to child abuse, child sexual abuse, and elder abuse. So if someone were to come to one of us and disclose any kind of elder abuse or child abuse, we are required by law to report it to the state. Okay, that isn't protected by like the pastoral relationship, okay, in the state of North Carolina. Child safety, we take that very seriously in our church. So there's a couple of things. One, we ask that you never take pictures of children here in this church if they're not yours, okay? Unless, of course, we're having an event, you can take pictures for private, but never posting any kind of picture with any children in our church. We are very careful when we are doing children services. We don't live stream. Even today, I'm going to have some pictures with children in it. They'll make sure that it does not get live streamed. They'll make sure it's cut out of the live stream. So we're very careful about our children here. Remember that if a child is not yours, don't kiss them. Okay? If it's not your child, don't kiss them. That's inappropriate. And you know, be careful with touching a child, you know, side hugs and things like that. All of our volunteers are required to go through child safety training every year and take a test and pass the test. And this is just to help people understand what it would look like if someone was potentially a child predator. And so just to make us all aware of what that looks like, because a lot of us are naive. And so they go through the training. Most churches only require the people who serve in Kingdom Kids to do that, but we require all of our volunteers because that type of thing may be happening in the main sanctuary. So the usher and the greeter, right, need to know what that might look like. One of the things that a person with wrong motives may do is give gifts to children to try to groom them. So to protect our children, if you want to give a gift to a child, you don't do it directly to the child, you give it to the parent. Okay, again, to protect our children and have no one accuse you of wrong motives or get them used to that. And this way, it cuts off anybody who would come in with wrong motives and start trying to give gifts. No, we don't allow that here in the church. Okay, so again, we go through training. And then the other thing too is just no solicitation. So obviously this isn't a place for people to start soliciting things for business, but also like if you, for example, when Pastor Randy was sick, we wouldn't want anyone to say, oh, I'm going to raise money to give to Pastor Randy, give money to me and I'll give it to Pastor Randy. No. We don't do that because there's just, even though all of you here I would trust, at some point there may be people here we can't trust, okay? And so someone could collect money for Pastor Randy and keep half of it or keep all of it or whatever. So we don't want to do that type of thing. If the church is doing some type of a fundraising thing, you would give directly to the church. If you feel inspired to give a gift to somebody in the church, give it, but don't pool a collection because we just want to make sure that nothing goes, that somebody with wrong motives could use that and steal money from you. And we don't want to do that. So any questions on that? That's the fun part of the service. So, sorry I have to talk about that, but we just have to do these things. Okay, so let's just look at 2023, the year in review. So that's that slide. So last year, if you were here, we called 2023 the year of empowerment. And we did that mainly because we were bringing a whole series of guest speakers in. Last year was the biggest year we ever had for guest speakers. And a lot of the guest speakers were people to empower us in ministry and in identity in Christ. And so for those of you who were here, and some of you who weren't, this is who you missed. So first of all, we had a team from the Global School of Supernatural Ministry came in. They're students who have gone through the school there, and they come. And one of the things they're required to do, just like Karis requires people to go on a mission trip, they're required to go to a church or ministry and teach what they've learned. And so they came to this church, and they taught on prophetic outreach, healing, inner healing, deliverance, impartation was a bunch of things that they taught. So they were great. Now, the thing is this is what, you know, where we have a little bit of a issue with guest speakers is they came in. And during the lunch break, when everyone had to go out and was encouraged to go out and minister in the marketplace, when you had lunch, a lot of people got up and did it, and we had great testimonies. And then the team leaves, and everybody goes back to their ordinary life. Okay? So this is like this, so that's not what we want, right? So those are things that we're looking at, like, as a leadership team, like, how do we, the bringing guest speakers in, there's a big flash in the pan, but what's the lasting fruit? Right, we're looking for lasting fruit. We brought in Joel Tay from Creation Ministries, again, to empower you when people start talking about evolution. No, actually, we know the Bible is true about creation, and science is confirming that creation is accurate. So that was another way to empower you. If you're talking about, there was a lot of resources available to be able to talk to creation and the truth of it in the Bible. We had William Wood come from Global Awakening, talked a lot about on identity in Christ. We had Ella on. Nicoya came. Now, Ella and Wendell Parr, these two were, they were add-ons. Originally, it was just the four. Global School, Creation, William Wood, and then Chad Gonzalez were our four originals for the year. And then Ella and Wendell we added in at the kind of the last minute. But Ella taught on forgiveness. Wendell taught about faith. And then we had Chad Gonzalez, again, just really hammering healing and our identity in Christ. So these were the guest speakers for 2023. So it was a big year. And we did that all in the first half of the year, except for Wendell, who came at the end of the year. All this was in the first half of the year. Like, April was a brutal month. I'm just saying. But anyway, so that was what we did. And then, of course, you know, what we spent a majority of the year, 27 teachings that I did on Paul's letter to the Ephesians, all about empowering us in understanding who our identity is in Christ and then walking that out in our lives. Okay, so a majority of between guest speakers and then the Paul's letter to the Ephesians, a lot of that was all about empowerment and walking in our identity. And then, of course, we had Pastor Randy taught some, Giselle, Jean, and Jeremy all brought awesome teachings as well. Again, all about empowerment. So last year for Men of Honor and Women of His Presence, the men did the book Uprising by Chris Valentin, talking about men, the need for men to walk, Christian men to walk in fullness in the culture to affect, because this is the most fatherless generation ever. And so really the importance of the father role in family and in society. They looked at that book, and then they had the men's retreat in August, and they had 12 men in attendance. And then the women did a book by Havilah Cunnington called Stronger Than the Struggle. Again, empowerment. How do we walk through difficulties in our lives? And it was a great book. And then we had the women's retreat in October, and we had 26 women in attendance. We're believing for 26 men. Amen. Amen. So we had that. And then we had the Kingdom Life study book. We finally finished the book of Revelation that Pastor Randy taught on. And then we started the chronological study through the Gospels, and that's the Wednesday Zoom call that we did. And then we had our Foundations for Kingdom Living classes. Primarily the year was, we had two classes at that point, and so we were doing Keep Your Love On by Danny Silk. Again, get that book. If you don't have it, get that book. And then Translating God. So that's empowering people in personal relationships and families and marriages. And then Translating God we did, which is about hearing God's voice, like the prophetic. And that was a great teaching as well by Sean Bowles. So we did those for our 9 to 9:45 classes. And then Kingdom Parents, we finished the book Raising Giant Killers, and we moved on to Raising Spirit-Led Kids. and worked on those. Again, empowering parents in how to raise their children in the Lord. Now, Kingdom Kids, so this is a picture from 2022 because we're so good at not taking pictures of our children that we didn't take any pictures of our children at the 2023 Christmas celebration. Anyway, so this is a 2022 picture, but all these children are still in children's church. So, last year, again, all about empowerment. Remember, we had our children do a service last year, at the end of last year, and the Holy Spirit was so present here. It was really powerful. So they're going to be doing that again. But just again, empowering our children. There's no junior Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it have been wonderful for all of us to learn how to operate in the Spirit when we were 5 and 6 years old? I mean, where would we be? Praise God. So we want to raise our children up to be sensitive to the Spirit, understand who they are in Christ, and see God move through them. I mean, what would have happened to you if you had prayed for somebody and seen a miracle happen through you? Wouldn't that have changed, like, the way you saw yourself in your life? Right? Like, look at what God did. So, so that's the children. And then our youth group. This picture was from the Christmas service, right? Again, there were very few pictures. We're so good at not taking pictures of our children, we forget. But so there's more than that in our church family, obviously. But the children, the youth, did Love Life, which is a pro-life organization, and they did a gathering for that, and they're going to do that again this year. It was prayer for them. We also did a family Sunday this year, and we honored the graduates, people who, like, students who had graduated from high school and college and things like that. So we did that as well. Then we had our church picnic in the fall, in September, which we do, and we had a great time, right, at Crabtree Lake Park. And then in November, we did our leadership retreat. This is something we do once a year. And so the board of directors and the leaders from our church, we go away. Every year, Pastor Randy and I have a book that we give them. And we give them like 4 or 5 months. They still wait till the last week to read it. But we try to give them like 4 to 5 months to read it. If they read it early, then they're like, I forgot what it said. So anyway, so we go away. We rent a house on Lake Gaston, and we have a breakfast team, a lunch team, and a dinner team. So the breakfast, lunch, and dinner team all go and buy the food for the meals. I mean, the church reimburses them, but that way it costs a lot less money, and they prepare the meals. And we just go away, and we typically read a book beforehand, and then we talk about the book, and then Pastor Randy and I just kind of talk about what the vision is for the coming year. And it's a beautiful time. You just need to know that the leaders are just so unified, which is really, I believe this church wouldn't be where it is if it wasn't for the unity of the leadership and the board that we have. So this year we did this book, In Search of Timothy, and it's a great book. If you want to serve in a church in any capacity, I would really highly recommend that you read it. It's a wonderful book. And in fact, it's so wonderful that anyone coming into leadership will be required to read that book, because it was really, really powerful and really helped us. So we did that. So we go up on a Sunday. We meet there Sunday after church, and then we come back Thursday morning. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we are there all day, and then we leave early Thursday morning. And we do worship together, pray together, and fellowship. And so it's very, very good. And like I said, it really helps this church stay unified and going in the right direction, or the same direction. And then last, just a couple of other events to remember from 2023, right? We did the Asbury Revival was in February of last year. Pastor Randy and I went to that. Remember? We had the Jesus Revolution movie came out in February. Brooke Ligertwood was here. Some of us went to see her. The Sound of Freedom movie came out in July. And then we did the Star of Bethlehem movie here at Christmas time. But these are all things that we forget, but they were really impactful throughout the year. Right, God was doing some great things outside of our church, you know, and just he's really showing off in so many ways to really impact the country and the world. So we had 10 new members in 2023. Praise God, right? So Sean and Allie joined the church, Mike and Jeanette, KJ and Vanessa, Kaylin, Helen, Tope, and James all joined the church in 2023. So praise the Lord. And now we have our first 2024 joiner in Natalia. And then we had these precious new additions. Look at this. See, we multiply in multiple ways. So Quinn Everly Cameron came in April and Josephina Peace Comrie came in June. So we are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. Amen. Aren't those just precious pictures? Anyway, two girls. We got two girls. Okay, so let's look at the 2023 financials. So I always, we try to do these two pie charts. So this one is just talking about the income. So of the income that came into the church, where did it come? How was it designated? So just so you know, overall, okay, in 2023, our income was 10% less than 2022. And that's just due, I think, just to transitions as well as just the economy. But overall, there was 10% less this year than last year. But of all the money that came in, 92% of it, the big piece, was designated as tithes and offerings. 3% was designated as the building fund. So that's money that comes in, but it's specifically earmarked building fund. The other 3% was guest speakers. So in other words, when we have guest speakers here, and people say, okay, I'm giving specifically towards William Wood, right? We designate that to help reimburse us for the expenses of bringing a speaker in. So 3% of the money was designated that way. Then the other was 2%, and other is like benevolence. So money, people who gave in the benevolence fund. We had a classroom fund at the beginning of the year because we were hoping to add it. We were thinking we needed an additional classroom to split up the ages, but we were able to find a way to do it all within one classroom. So the classroom fund, we had some people give to it a couple of times. We've left that money set aside for that purpose, and when we get a building, we'll use that specifically for children. But that fund isn't available to give to anymore because we were able to just stay with one room for the Kingdom Kids. Other income is because typically what that is everything we do on a credit card. We never carry a balance. We pay our credit card off multiple times in a month, so we never carry a credit card balance where I will not pay interest fees. But we get cha-ching points, cha-ching points, cha-ching points, cha-ching points. And like what we do here at the Sheraton, cha-ching points, right? And it adds up. And so every month, at the end of the month, I'm like with Amy and we're like, okay, cha-ching, thank you. And so that's the other income. The other thing that's good about the Sheraton is we also are part of the Marriott Bonvoy Club, right? So we get points so that when Pastor Randy and I go to Voice of the Apostles, typically our hotel room is free because of the points we earn from this. So, and then of course, interest as well, interest. So that's the other bucket. Okay, so we look at expenses. So this is so if the income was less, then the proportionally things are bigger. For example, rent last year was 25% of our income. This year it was 38%. That's a number of things. First of all, that you know we have less coming in, but so between 2022 and 2023, the cost of being here on a Sunday went up 31%. Okay, then when they gave us our 2024 rates, that was a 56% increase over what we were paying in 2022. So now they give us a discount because we're here every week. So we do get a discount. And I did go back to them and say, is there any way you can change? And they said, no. So that is why we no longer have two classrooms. We just have one. Because to save money, we were like, okay, we'll just stay with the auditorium and one classroom as opposed to having two classrooms. Because we used to have a live stream room. We don't have a live stream room anymore And that was just the grace of the parents that were willing to say, okay, because usually it was used by the young families to take their children in there and they would watch the live stream. So when we went to them and said, is there a way, would you be willing to give up those rooms? They said, yes, we can just wander the halls. So anyway, so our rent is 38%, was 38%. Like I said, it was 25% last year. So hopefully, you know, that will go down because the price, if you look at when we just have this room plus one room, then we only have a 25%, we're only paying 25% more than we were paying in 2022. So that's a little bit easier to deal with. Okay. So salaries last year was 11%, and it was 11% this year. But just so you know, so at the beginning of the year, Jeremy was still a pastor, so he still was getting a very small salary from the church, but then he stepped down as pastor, so now the only two people who are getting a small salary are Pastor Randy and I. So that should either stay, this should probably stay about the same, maybe go down, I don't know. General administrative expenses, so that's 15%. Last year it was 11%. What goes in that bucket is the stuff that you just never think of, like software, the maintenance of vehicles, paying for insurance, office supplies, you know, like the cups and the welcome bag, the welcome bags that we have out there, the signs that we have, like those things are all considered general administrative expenses. And we have, you know, we have insurance on us as a church, and we also have insurance on us as like for our vehicles. Church activities, so that would be like our church picnic and, you know, meals and things like that. So that's church activities. Leadership and volunteers, last year that was 5%. This year it was just 4%. So that would include the leadership retreat, but also like all of our child safety training, the background checks, things like that all go in that bucket. Guest speakers, so last year we spent 5% of our income on guest speakers. This year we spent 14%. So a lot of what we did was investing in the guest speakers that came into the church. And again, you know, when we look at that, we feel like we don't feel like it's worth the bang for the buck. So next year, in 2024, you're going to see that we're not going to bring in guest speakers like that to that degree. But we're blessed by those who came this year. Missions and benevolence, this is just what we as a church give away. We sow into other ministries, and we also have benevolence for people in need. So that was 8% this year. Children and youth would be, you know, like they buy pizza for the youth group, children's supplies, you know, Goldie, the fishies, so that the Bowman children come, right? Because as he's like, are we going back to the church that has the fishes? I'm like, yes. And then, so cash current assets is 5%. So last year, what does that mean? That means that overall our cash, our total cash went up 5%. Okay, over last year. So we were in the black. We had a profit. We don't look at a profit, but we're in the black. But last year it was 25% if you consider the fact that we purchased a truck, right? So last year we bought the truck that we used to deliver the equipment every Sunday. And so we had taken 16% extra in cash, and we had taken plus 9% we had invested in the truck. So total, we were at 25% over our previous year's income. And this year, we were just at 5%. Again, but we had, so the income was less, the rent was more, and the guest speakers was more. I would say those are the three big areas that the money went to this year as opposed to last year. So any questions on that? That's where the money is going. Everybody good? Okay, let's go on to 2024. So 2024, where the Lord just really put it on our heart that this is the theme. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's been a moving thing, right? So every year, again, we have like, what are we focused on? What is the Lord having us focused on this year? And so this is it. Like, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is part of the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to see how the Lord's unfolding this. But it's all about, again, it's about the promises he's given us, what he's given us through the cross. Jesus went to the cross to establish his kingdom here on this earth. And we have the privilege, so we don't establish it, he's established it. But we have the privilege of extending it. Amen. Okay? And that's our job. So, and we're here to enforce his will on earth as it is in heaven. And we're seeing that right now as we press into healing. But I believe the Lord's going to have us press into much more as he's teaching us how to contend for things. Yes. Right? And so there's going to be more that he's going to invite us into as we accept the call that he has on us. So again, we go back to the core values of presence, right? So your kingdom come, we want to honor his presence. We want to pray, right? Because this is part of the Lord's Prayer, is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. So we want to pray into that. And then the transformation that happens as we steward his kingdom well in the way that he wants us to, and then how do we impact the world through evangelism. And all of this too, if you look at it, like we have encounter, know, live, okay? So encounter is presence, prayer, transformation, and then live is transformation and evangelism. Like, so all of those are found in these core values. Okay, so how are we going to do that? Well, that's one of the reasons why we changed our Sunday night from a time of worship, which was, it was kind of worship and soaking, and the Lord really put it on our heart in line with our core values to make it a time of prayer and intercession. It's really interesting because as you know, we get together with other churches once a month, pastors of other churches, to pray. And it's very interesting because unbeknownst to us, one of the other pastors, one of their services was all about, they had soaking services, and they changed it to prayer and intercession as well. And we had no contact with each other, but we found that out. So again, I just feel like this is the Lord. Like, we did the soaking time, and that's all important, but he wants us to start pressing in. So prayer and intercession is what we're doing on Sunday nights from 6:30 to 8. And of course now, I mean, he set us up. Now we have daily prayer meetings. And the thing is that, you know, if I had stood up here and said, yay, we're going to meet every Monday through Saturday, 6:30 to 7 and 8 to 8:30 at night, do you want to join us? Most people would be like, yeah, I don't think so. But there's a cause. There's a cause. And when people rally around a cause, and the cause has inspired us, but now it's a culture. This is the culture of our church. So we're not stopping that. When Pastor Rennie's walking in the fullness of his healing, and Jeanette's walking in the fullness of her healing, and Rose is walking in the fullness of her healing, guess what? We're going to keep doing prayer because we have more to contend for. And so this is the culture of this church, right? We talked about the testimonies this morning of what's already happening in all of this, right? And I just want to say part of, I'll share this video with you guys because this really got us going. And I'll send it in the weekly email, but there's a video by James Koala. It's three hours long. It's a long video, but it is worth watching. And it just talks about the fact that he was a Satanist, dedicated from birth as a Satanist. And he operated on the inside of that kingdom for decades. And he was high up, okay? And then Jesus encountered him. And he gave his life to the Lord. And he's a powerful minister now. But when he opens up, like, what goes on in that kingdom and how they operate. And I'm really sorry to say, but the Satanists are more willing to lay their lives down for Satan than most Christians are willing to lay their life down for Christ. Yeah. It's just true. And the enemy's totally fine with that. And the thing that he said, as when he was in all of that, and he was very high up, the thing that threatened them the most were people that prayed. And when I heard that, it was like, okay, I'm praying. I'm praying. And so we need to be a praying church. If we're going to do what God wants, what we all know in our hearts and in our spirits this church is called to, we have got to be people of prayer. Amen. We have to. It's never going to happen if we don't. He talked about the fact that literally there was, what was the name? Who was the person that was coming into the town? Maurice Cirillo was coming into town, and they were told, all the Satanists were told, you need to be 30 miles outside the town for 21 days, or when he comes into town, you'll die, because he's a prayer. Not because he's a good preacher, but because he's a prayer. If we want to do what God's called us to do, we have got to pray. We have got to pray. We have got to come together. And so this is, like I said, I'll send the link out to this video to you, but it was sent to us by, one of the pastors in this group that we meet with once a month. And when I watch that, I'm like, oh, listen, okay, now I know. Like, now I know, like, you're not going to get me off my knees. Like, I'm praying. So it's important for us to understand. So in light of that, we're going to discontinue, I'm sorry, guys, but we're going to discontinue the Wednesday night study because we're going to be focusing on prayer. So we're discontinuing that. Okay. Now, the next thing that we need to do is fast. I know, you're just so excited, aren't you? Wow. Praying every morning and every evening and fasting, going without food. Oh, isn't this exciting? But in the Matthew 6 and the Beatitudes, when Jesus is talking about the Beatitudes, there's three things he said you will do as believers. You will fast, you will pray, and you will give. Right? You'll give to the poor, right? You'll take care of the poor. You'll fast. When you fast, he doesn't say if you fast, he says when you fast. He doesn't say if you pray, he says when you pray. He doesn't say if you give, he says when you give, right? And so these are things that we need to do as a church. So what we're going to do is going to do corporate fasting. And the leaders had come together and decided that this is what we wanted to do. And so the leaders are definitely going to do this. And we invite all of us to do this together, because when we're unified, the enemy's really upset. Do you know what's happened? Our dishwasher went down. Our hot water heater went down when we started praying, because the enemy's like, oh, no. Anyway, okay, so, but we're going to have a weekly focus. So every Tuesday, if you're, and again, please, I want to just cancel any religious spirit in this room in the name of Jesus. This is not about religion. This is not being religious. This is, we get invited into this by the Lord because he's worthy. He's worthy. So if you don't understand the importance of fasting, if you don't have a hunger to fast, don't do it, please. Don't do it out of religious obligation. Don't do it because everybody else is doing it. Do it because the Lord has inspired you to do this. That's really important. But we'll have these themes so that we're all pressing into the same thing, right? So the first Tuesday is about, and this, our leadership team fasted this Tuesday, and you do whatever fast the Lord tells you to do. So it's between you and the Lord. I didn't check on everybody to make sure they're fasting, okay? But the first Tuesday every month is Thanksgiving and praise, okay? And then I would recommend making that the theme for the week. That's what I'm doing. So Tuesday, I'm focusing on that when I'm fasting. And then for the week, I'm really focusing on Thanksgiving and praise. Second Tuesday is humility and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Like really coming before him and really giving our lives over to him as our Lordship. Third Tuesday is confession, repentance, and forgiving self and others. Okay, this is not, what is confession in the Christian as new believers in Christ? Okay, what we're doing is we're coming into agreement with what he says about us. That's what we're confessing. So say I lost my temper, okay? Never happens, but just say I did. Okay, it's hypothetical. Anyway, so you have an angry moment or a tirade, whatever. So it's taking the time to say, Lord, I know that's not the truth about me. The truth is that you have given me the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, Lord. I let go of that behavior because that's the flesh. It's not who I am. I repent from that. I repent from that outburst, Lord. I know it's not the reality of who I am. I forgive myself for that, Lord. I thank you that you've forgiven me already. I forgive myself for that, Lord. And I forgive the person that I was upset with, right? So it's just developing a lifestyle of forgiveness. Because this, let me tell you, the number one way the enemy is going to try to get us off track as we come together, because what God's doing right now is very powerful. And I mean, it's happening. It's happening. And the number one thing he's going to try to do is cause offense. And if we don't learn to walk in forgiveness, he will succeed at his task to get us divided. So it's important that we develop this lifestyle. Fourth Tuesday is holiness and freedom to the glory of God and his kingdom. So fourth Tuesday is all about the reality of who we are in Christ and how we're walking out the kingdom for his glory. Okay, so that we fast into that. And then the fifth Tuesday is, if it is a fifth Tuesday, it's ever as the Lord leads you. So one of the things that Pastor Randy and I talked about this, is if we practice these every month for the rest of the year, we're going to develop these as lifestyles. If you take Thanksgiving and praise, and you start that Tuesday, you fast, and then you, for the rest of the week, you focus on Thanksgiving and praise, that will become a part of your lifestyle. If the following week you do this thing, that'll become a part of your lifestyle if you focus on that. So by the end of the year, I would hope that to some degree, all these things are integrated into our lives as a lifestyle, as opposed to just the Tuesday thing that we do. Okay, I'll put these in the weekly email. That way you have to read it. And I'll send it out to y'all. But these are the things we're going to focus on as we fast. And again, you come into it as the Lord leads you. Don't do it out of religious obligation. But if you look at all these are all a part of the prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? Thanksgiving and praise. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Right? All these things are a part of the prayer. You know, thy kingdom, and it says at the end, right, that to the glory of God, fourth Tuesday. So all of that is contained in the Beatitudes. Any questions on that? Hip, hip, hooray. and then of course we still have the financial class going on, which has been really great. Sean has been hosting that for us, and Oleg out really getting a kingdom mindset, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants to get your finances in godly order. And so this class has been really great. We're like a third through it, but it's been really great about how to manage our finances. And it's really about really a kingdom mindset of finances is really what it's about. And it applies to all areas of your life. So it's very good. So the next, we're finishing up Four Keys to Hearing God's Voice, again, which is so essential. And then the next book that we're going to do is The Power of Imagination by Andrew Womack. This is not one of the study guides like we did before, God Wants You Well or Spirit, Soul, and Body. This is just a book. But Pastor Rennie and I really felt, I mean, KJ had mentioned that this book really impacted him, and it really quickened my spirit, and Pastor Rennie and I talked about that. And if we're going to be praying people and fasting people, we need to sanctify our imaginations. If we're going to walk into what God wants us to do here in this church, we need to sanctify our imaginations. How are if we can't see it in our imagination first, it won't be able to happen in the natural. And so we're going to, so after we finish Four Keys to Hearing God's Voice, we'll go ahead and do the book, The Power of Imagination. I would really, I really encourage you to become a part of that class. I'll let you know when we're going to start it. We still have a little bit more to do in Four Keys. So we'll let you know when that's coming. So Men of Honor and Women of His Presence, we're doing Bible studies in the groups, which has been really great. We're doing character studies. So those are first and third Mondays from 6:30 to 8. Again, this is getting us out of the hotel on Saturdays, saves money, but also we wanted to get us back in homes for fellowship. And so we're doing those. It was at KJ's house, KJ and Vanessa's house from the men's, and then Janet Sales for the women's. Kingdom Parents Group is the second Saturday of each month. And we keep having to cancel it because it's just hard for to get all these families together on the same Saturday. So we might not be continuing with this, but we're going to try it like one more month and see what happens. But everybody's schedules. And then new, I'm excited to announce this, is we're going to start what's called an Isaiah 61 ministry here in the church. Some of you have heard us talk about Connect Up. And Connect Up is an inner healing prayer ministry that we knew that we needed to get some type of inner healing with this going within our church. And so we looked at various different models. And Connect Up is one that that is in relationship with Global Awakening, but they're not a part of Global Awakening, but they're in relationship with them. And a lot of people who graduated from Global Awakening schools are running this ministry. But it's really a beautiful ministry because it's talking about inner healing and issues that we may have in our hearts that are hindering us. But their goal is just to not so much go after the issue as connect you to God on that, and connect you stronger to God to heal that issue. Because if you're connected to God, 1,000 lesser issues fall away. So that's really the heart of this ministry, and we really felt like it resonated with us and the heart of our church. And so a number of us have gone through training, their level one training, and some of us have gone through their level two training. And so what we're going to be doing is starting these sessions. So Mae Hickman is leading this ministry up, and if you're interested in getting more information, you could talk to her, or we've also set up an email called isaiah61@klci.org. for if you're an appointment or more information. So the ministry, right now, the only appointments we can do are going to be on Zoom because we have the financial class going on in the afternoon, but soon we'll be able to offer sessions after church on a Sunday in one of the rooms. So this is, so we're calling it, we're actually in the process of becoming an official Connect Up branch, but we can't call the ministry Connect Up until we get certified as a Connect Up branch. Therefore, we're calling it the Isaiah 61 ministry, because the foundations of Connect Up is Isaiah 61, and our church has been called an Isaiah 61 church. We received that word from Ella Onokoya several years ago. So I just really felt that this would be a perfect name for it, because it's the heart of Connect Up, and it's also the calling on our church. So we called it Isaiah 61 ministry. So again, if there's areas of your life where you feel like you need breakthrough, or feel like you can't connect to God on, or whatever, I would just really encourage you. It's a powerful ministry. I've been through sessions and it's been very beneficial. Other people here have gone through sessions personally and been benefited by it. So we're going to be start doing that, offering that here at our church. Any questions on that? Woohoo! Okay, so Kingdom Kids 2024. See, this is a stock picture that we purchased. We don't put our kids up there. So we're going to continuing to expand the teaching team. I'm really grateful for the people who serve in Kingdom Kids, because the assistants only have to serve once every 8 weeks, because we have enough people who have signed up to do that. So we're appreciative of that. We're going to continue having the children lead the service. In fact, they'll probably lead a service sometime in March. And they're doing Bible character studies to kind of go along with what we're doing in the men's and women's ministry. And then our youth group, they're doing a teaching right now of exploring their own giftings and callings. And they're going to go back to Love Life again. They're going to go to Winter Jam in Greensboro in a couple weeks. So they're doing some outdoor activities too. And they want to also see them serving in the community. So that's what's going on in youth group. And then we are bringing in one guest speaker next year, and that's William Woods coming back April 6th and 7th. He was really great, so we're bringing him back. Miss Victoria, pardon me? He has a powerful testimony, absolutely. But Miss Victoria actually got it up on the website. I got an email early this morning saying, it's on the website. So I really appreciate that, Victoria. So you can pre-register now. We're going to have it in this room, so we don't have additional rent expense, right, except for Saturday. We'll have it in this room on Saturday. We're going to rent an additional room on Saturday, too, that we will live stream it for people with children. Sunday, it'll just be this room and then Kingdom Kids, okay? But he'll be here April 6th and 7th, and then because we're in this room, he's going to have, on Saturday, he'll do three sessions, morning, afternoon, and evening. Okay, where we couldn't do that last time because Saturday night we had to transfer all the equipment from the other hotel to this hotel. So he only did two sessions. So he'll be here three sessions on Saturday, and then he'll do the Sunday morning service as well. So please be sure to pre-register that. We're really not going to be promoting it much outside the church, because we want to make sure that we all get in for this, because it's primarily for us, right? Then, of course, we have the Global Awakening mission trip. We're going to go to the cities of Belém and Macapá. I don't know if I'm pronouncing those right. But that's going to be powerful for this church, right? I really believe, like, God's setting us up as we all are praying and seeing the miraculous happen. And then we're going to go to Brazil and poof, it's going to explode. So we're really excited about that. All about what we're talking about, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is all a part of that. Again, there's still openings if you want to come. And then we have the men's retreat, August 15th through 18th. Remember, the deposit is due by the end of March. So just encourage you, if you want to go on the men's retreat, to put your deposit in by the end of March. And then we have the women's retreat. And both retreats are going back to the places they were last year. So September 26th or 29th is the women's retreat, and the deposit of $100 is due by the end of April, because ours isn't until September. Good. And then our other 2024 events are going to be, our church picnic is on September 8th. The leadership retreat is going to be in November. The Christmas fellowship service is December 15th. And I know it's shocking, but we're going to hail Christmas Eve on December 24th. Didn't see that coming, did you? Okay. And then again, just believe with us for a building. I have to tell you, as much as we're paying for rent here, it's still less expensive than a building. Especially, we're strategically located so that, if we move 20 minutes in any one direction, we oust a family. You know, we got people coming from Goldsboro, so if I move too far this, if we move too far this way, it's too hard for them. If we move too far south, it's hard for the people north of us in Virginia and, you know, in Christie. If we move north, it's too hard for the people who are south of us. So we have a very little space that would really be okay for everybody. And that space just happens to be really expensive. It's like prime real estate in Raleigh-Durham. But God. But God. You know, it's not, it's just when it's time for our building, he'll make it happen. He's not going to leave us short. But so we keep praying. If you want to sow into that, but keep praying for sure about it. But you just need to know that even with what we spend here, it's still less expensive than a building, especially when you start adding maintenance and all that other stuff. Like when the heating or the heating doesn't work here, I just get to tell somebody else. Like, we don't have to call someone who's going to charge us. So just keep believing with us on that as well. And then I just want to take a minute. Go back to the other one first for a minute. So please, thank you. So I just want to end, as we're going to wrap this up here, I promise. So like everything God's doing in here, like I said, Pastor Rainey and I had no ideas we were going to be pastors. We didn't know we were going to have a church. So praise God, because we would have messed it up. but you know what God's doing? It's because of all of you. You know, none of this stuff that would be happening if it wasn't for all of you. And we just really want to honor all of you who've come to this church and said, listen, I believe God's, don't be here unless God called you, right? But if you believe you're called to this church, everything that we are doing and will do is because you're here. And we are so grateful for all of you. We're so honored and privileged to be your pastors. And we thank you for your commitment to what God is doing in whatever ways you're able to commit. We're just really grateful for all of you. When Nick was here, we've talked to him a couple times since then too, and he's like, you've got on fire people in your church. I'm like, yeah, we do. He's like, this is amazing. I said, well, all of the people that come to our church, like, they're not just Sunday people. Like, they really want to live this thing out. He goes, it's very obvious. He says, your church is on fire. Now, that's from another pastor in a local church. So, and you need to know, when guest speakers come, they typically are very impressed with all of you because of the commitment they can tell that all of you have to live this life. You're not just church growers. So we're just honored to be your pastors, to represent you, and to be able to sow into you and feed you. And I want to honor, again, the people who are on our board of directors, because again, it wouldn't be possible for if it wasn't for them. So, you know, Pastor Randy and I run the church. I'm the president, senior pastor, because I'm the one who does most of the speaking, right? And then Randy's the vice president, but we do everything together. Like, there's no move that he makes that I'm not a part of, and vice versa. Like, everything is together. And then Jeremy is the treasurer, May is the board member, and Spencer is a board member. Now, Christina Banks used to be a part of the board, but she has stepped down recently just because of the stuff that's going on, and they're just very busy with a lot of things. We're so grateful for these people who are such an integral part of the church and are so supportive, and we operate together. So just really want to honor them for their part in this as well. And then just the organization chart here. So this is how what our organization, this is part of what makes this all tick, because we couldn't do all this. So Pastor Randy runs the audiovisual live stream outreach men's ministry. Jean is our tear down coordinator. I just want to say something too about that. So we really appreciate everybody helping with tear down, but it's just really important to understand, like, there's a method to everything we do. And so it's getting hard for us in the mornings because things aren't where we thought they were, and things aren't put away like there we thought they were. So just when you're a part of tear down, please ask for, like, what's the best way to do that. Even like the big signs that you take down, like, it's really important when you're putting it in that you make sure that they fit inside here, because if it shifts this way to that or that way, it'll ruin the sign. So there's just little things that we know, because we tear down for so long, to please ask questions about what's the best way to do this to avoid problems when we're setting up. So just a little side note, but we appreciate your help. So Amy is in charge of AV now. We finally got Pastor Randy to give that over. Praise God. So I'm kind of more the executive finance facility person. I do the HR and Kingdom Life groups and women's ministry. So Giselle is in charge of prayer ministry here at the church. So she's in charge of the prayer team, but also she's kind of heading up like the calls that we're doing and the Sunday night thing. She's helping head that up. So she's in charge of prayer ministry. The way the volunteers work is Amy takes care of all the child safety training, the policies, getting new volunteers on board and getting them scheduled. On Sundays, Giselle is the one to make sure that people are in their place and following up with them. And then, of course, Mae Hickman is now stepped up as the Isaiah 61 ministry leader. And then Spencer and Morgan are in charge of Kingdom Kids, and all the Kingdom Kids volunteers report to them. Jean and Victoria, of course, are in charge of youth ministry. And then administrative assistants are Amy and Victoria. Amy, again, takes care of like the finances, anything to do with finances, Amy takes care of that. And she takes care of anything to do with volunteers as far as paperwork and stuff like that. Victoria takes care of everything else. That's the easy way to say that. So she takes care of the website, putting guest speakers up there, the app, the church schedule, all that stuff. Emails, like I put the weekly email together, but she's the one who sends it out, the text, things like that. So she does everything else. And I just want to say too, so Jeremy and Beth aren't on the org chart right now because right now they're still considered leaders in this church and they still come to our leadership meetings and they're an integral part of our leadership team, but they're just in a season right now where they're not heading up any particular area, but they help wherever is necessary. And so we really want to honor them for their part in the church because they're an essential part of our leadership team, even though they don't have an official title. Okay. So we really want to honor their part in all of this because we really appreciate them and their help. So any questions on that? Everybody good? Okay, so just remember what this year is about. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's the thing. And I would remind you of these declaration cards we made up at the beginning of the year. You know, declare these over the church during your prayer time as we continue to grow. But this is we believe that the Lord is really, this is what he wants for this church this year. This is what we're focusing on. This is our target. And we believe that we're going to see great things happen as we do that. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let me just, any questions on anything we've shared? Everybody good? Information overload? I've learned how to use PowerPoint. All week I was making PowerPoint slides. So anyway, let me just pray for you. And then we do have the prayer ministers. If you could come forward while I'm praying, that would be helpful. So come on down if you're a prayer minister. So Lord, I just thank you so much for the vision you have for this church, the mission you've given us, and the target you've given us for this year. We thank you, Lord, that this calling that you've given all of us is already stirring in our hearts, Lord. We're already seeing it happen. And we are so grateful to be a part of this. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for the miraculous things that you're doing. And just like Pastor Randy had said when he called into the church that one day, look for the little miracles. Look for the little things that God's doing because it's all pointing towards the big miracles. And Lord, we don't want to miss what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for every person who's a part of this church. Thank you for the call that you've brought them here to be a part of what you're doing. May they each person understand how important they are. If this is your church, Lord, let them know that they play an essential part in bringing your goals for this church to pass. We love you, Lord. We honor you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.